Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today is from the Acts of the Apostles, the second chapter. My dear friends in Christ, Pentecost is this strange day we set aside. It's a day that we set for the Holy Spirit, right, and what He's doing. And it's kind of a strange day in this. We don't really have a Christ day. And we don't really have a Father day, but we've got this Holy Spirit day. I mean, I suppose you could say that the Christ day is Easter or Christmas, and I totally get that argument, but this is a day that we lump all of our celebration of what the Holy Spirit does into a single day. And yet still, it is spread throughout the entire year. Lutherans are often accused by those outside our denomination of saying, well, you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And I would argue that every word and every prayer and every song or stanza that we sing is actually only sung or spoken by the power of the Spirit. Every word that we derive out of our service actually comes from Scripture, that Scripture which the Holy Spirit inspired into the minds of men who wrote God's Word down and preserved it for generations. Every Sunday is a Holy Spirit Sunday. But today, we specifically look at one event, a day of Pentecost. This is 50 days after Easter, or 50 days in the Jewish calendar after the Passover. This is when people would start bringing all of their thanksgiving to God, and everybody had been gathered into Jerusalem. Now, many of them were there at Easter. They heard of this Christ. Many of them would come in on Passover, and they would stay through the 40 or the 50 days until Pentecost Day, and from there they would begin to go back to their home. If you remember the Ethiopian eunuch, he's on his way back from Jerusalem down to Ethiopia, and God brings him a servant who explains the word of the Lord to him. This servant was coming back from this Pentecost festival. And so many are still gathered there. And you heard of them today. The Parthians, the Medes, the Elamites, the residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. That's a lot of people. It's a ton of people. And a bunch of people who are there to worship the one true God, though it has not been explained to them in every single way about who Jesus is and what He's done. They're there to worship God, to give Him thanks, to bring their offerings, to have their sins forgiven. This is what they're gathered around for. And I would venture to say, very few of them spoke Hebrew, much less Aramaic. They all spoke their own native languages. They might have known enough to get by. After all, we know some phrases in different languages, don't we? Kyrie eleison, which means anybody? Oh, come on now. Kyrie is Lord, eleison is have mercy, right? Or how about this one? Hallelujah. Anybody know that one? Praise the Lord, right? We know certain little words, and surely they knew the same. And yet here on this Pentecost day, words are coming to them in their own language, languages that they can understand. What's amazing about this is that the Galileans are, well, they're Galileans. It's kind of like saying they're the rednecks of Jewish society. The uneducated, the fishermen, the tradesmen, the people that no one wants to really be around. They kind of smell, they haven't showered in a week, and yet here they are speaking all of these high and lofty languages. And how is that possible? It is only because the Spirit has given them utterance, just as He did to the people who wrote the Scriptures down. It's an amazing thing to speak in tongues. It's not something that we really hear today. A lot of people assume that speaking in tongues is what we normally hear in our ears as kind of this gibberish thing that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Speaking in tongues according to the Scriptures, and it says it right here, speaking in tongues is to tell the mighty works of God in their own language, a language they could understand. For instance, if someone came in here today and they only spoke German and all of a sudden Nate started speaking German to them, but he can't speak a lick of it, he'd be speaking in tongues. That's an amazing thing. Paul tells us that this is going to happen to us often in the church, at least that early church, but it will die out. Because the word of Christ is fully written down in the Gospels and in all of the epistles. That word of Christ is given to them and it's able to be translated into different languages. And now we have scriptures in almost every language across the face of the earth. We're still finding more languages and so we're still finding more translations. But it is an amazing thing. And this is the work of the Spirit. The work of the Spirit is to bring the word of Christ to those who need to hear it. And who needs to hear it? All of us. And the word of Christ is this, that God has come in human flesh to bear our sins and to be our Savior. He has borne your sin in His flesh. He has died for it, being punished on your behalf under the wrath of God, that you might never have to bear that wrath. Only believe and understand that the Lord has saved you out of hell itself and will bring you into eternal rest in the resurrection from the dead. The word of Christ is simple. The word of Christ is easy. But the word of Christ wasn't known yet this Pentecost day. It is true if you look at the Old Testament, you see the word of Christ on every page. You see how everything is pointing to the coming of Jesus and how God is going to work His miracles through this man, the miracle specifically of salvation. But here now, too, we see the word of Christ being poured out on a group of people in Jerusalem this day. And Peter, there standing in the temple, begins to lift up his voice and cry out, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words." Peter's not speaking about his words, but the words that come to him by the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus has told them, "Do not worry about what you will say, for my Spirit will give you the correct utterance." Peter gets up and preaches this amazing sermon. At the end of it, and I'll tell you next week's lesson, at the end of it, the people hear Peter's words, his sermon, and they cry out, "What now shall we do?" For they realize that they had murdered the Lord of all creation. And Peter reminds them what it is that the church does do. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins. And this promise is for you and for your children and all who are far off." That beautiful message, repent and be baptized, repent and have the forgiveness of sins, that is Peter's gift by the Holy Spirit to speak that word to the people. And that very word is the word that we have spoken as a church for 2,000 years. Some call this day the birthday of the church. The birthday of the church is when Adam and Eve were created, whatever day that is. But we might as well celebrate it today. Because we have been preaching the very same message, that Christ has come and that Christ will come again. Christ will come again to judge us, the living and the dead, in His glory. And to those who have done good, which is to believe in Christ, He will enter into their eternal rest. And for those who have done evil, which is to reject our Lord and His message, they will enter into the very judgment of hell. Pentecost Day is a day when the Spirit is given and He begins to separate the wheat from the chaff. He begins to separate the goats and the lambs, not because of what we look like or not because of what we speak and not because of what we do, but He separates these people out based on, have they believed? Belief comes even by a gift of the Spirit. It is not something that we create in ourselves, lest anyone should boast. That belief comes as a gift through the Word of God. If only we would stop rejecting it and hold fast to it and give to our Lord the deference due Him and to say, "My Lord, You have done all things for me." And so He does. And to those who are the goats, those who are the chaff, those who are separated out into the judgment of hell, they continue to reject the Word of God. They continue to turn away from Jesus Christ and all that He would give to them. And they desire to go it on their own. "I don't need a Word of God. I don't need a message in my own language. I am my own message. I've done pretty good. I've done all right." And they refuse to call upon the name of the Lord. those who do call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, and those who refuse to call upon the name of the Lord will not be. The Spirit divides us into these groups. On this Pentecost day, 3,000 men, not including the women and the children, 3,000 men came into the church. What an amazing thing that would be, to see the fulfillment of your faith, everything that you had believed, now pointing to the Christ. And I have to tell you, that is our faith too. It is our faith that the Spirit brings to us. It is the faith that Adam and Eve had. It is the faith that David had, the faith that Solomon had, the faith that the prophets had, the faith that Peter and Paul had, the faith of Jesus Christ is the faith that you have today, a faith that you have been guided into and preserved in by the Spirit. The Spirit is good, and He has breathed into you life. After all, that is what His name actually means. It's an interesting fact that in both Hebrew and Greek, the same word is used for both breath and spirit. Ruach in the Hebrew and pneuma in the Greek, both meanings can be found in that one word. So when the Spirit breathes into Adam and gives to him life, He inspirits Adam and gives him life. When the Spirit comes into you, He inspirits you. The same way. And He gives to you life. Not just life for this world, not just life for the sake of living, but life eternal with your Lord and Savior. And that's the real message of Pentecost. Is that we have within us God. God the Spirit who brings to us Jesus, who dwells in us. And when we have Jesus, we have also the Father. The entirety of the Trinity in some sense is dwelling in each one of us. And it brings us back to this place week after week after week to hear the word of the Lord and to receive the gifts that come from His hand. The Spirit brings us together and binds us together in the one fellowship of the church, that we might indeed receive the one great gift of Jesus Christ, His salvation. And so we do each and every time we gather together. Each and every time, because our words are guided by the Spirit and His work, each and every time we receive the salvation of our Lord when we walk into this place and we worship God. Because God comes to you to serve you in here, in this place. He comes both as the host and the meal. He comes as the welcomer. He comes as the comforter, the one who guides you into all truth. He comes as the Creator who says to you, "You are mine, and I am now yours." And what better news is that? This Pentecost day, understand this. The Spirit dwells within you to bring to you every good gift that your God would have to give to you. Open your eyes and your ears to receive the gift of the Spirit this day and every day. For indeed, you do call upon the name of the Lord in this place, and you shall be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.